Mr. Henry, ma'am, is downstairs with Colonel Pickering.
Well, show them up.
They're using the telephone, ma'am. Telephoning to the police, I think.
What?
Mr. Henry is in a state, ma'am. What I'd better tell you.
If you had told me that Mr. Henry was not in a state, it would have been more surprising. Tell them to come up when they finish with the police. I suppose he's lost something.
Yes, ma'am.
Go upstairs and tell Miss Doolittle that Mr. Henry and the Colonel are here. Ask her not to come down till I send for her.
Yes.
Look here, Mother. Here's a confounded thing.
Yes, dear. Good morning. What is it?
Eliza has bolted.
You must have frightened her.
Frightened her? Nonsense. She was left last night, as usual, to turn out the lights and all that. And instead of going to bed, she changed her clothes and went right off. Her bed wasn't slept in. She came in a cab for her things before 7 this morning, and that fool Mrs. Pierce let her have them without telling me a word about it. What am I to do?
Do without, I'm afraid, Henry. The girl has a perfect right to leave, if she chooses.
But I can't find anything. I don't know what appointments I've got. I'm...
Good morning, Mrs. Higgins. Has Henry told you?
What does that ass of an inspector say? Have you offered a reward?
You don't mean to say you set the police after Eliza?
Of course. What are the police for? What else could we do?
The inspector made a lot of difficulties. I really think he suspected us of some improper purpose.
Well, of course he did. What right have you to go to the police and give the girl's name as if she were a thief or a lost umbrella or something? Really?
But we want to find her.
We can't let her go like this, you know, Mrs. Higgins. What were we to do?
You have no more sense, either of you, than two children. Why, I...
Mr. Henry, a gentleman wants to see you very particular. He's been sent on from Wimpole Street.
Oh, bother. I can't see anyone now. Who is it?
A Mr. Doolittle, sir.
Doolittle? Do you mean the dustman?
Dustman? Oh, no, sir. A gentleman.
By George, Pick, it's some relative of hers that she's gone to. Somebody we know nothing about. Send him up, quick.
Yes, sir.
Genteel relatives. Now we shall hear something.
Do you know any of her people?
Only her father, the fellow we told you about.
Mr. Doolittle.
See here. Do you see this? You done this?
Done what, man?
This, I tell you. Look at it. Look at this hat. Look at this coat.
Has Eliza been buying you clothes?
Eliza? Not she. Why would she buy me clothes?
Good morning, Mr. Doolittle. Won't you sit down?
Asking your pardon, ma'am. Thank you. I'm that full of what has happened to me that I can't think of anything else.
What the dickens has happened to you?
I shouldn't mind if it had only happened to me. Anything might happen to anybody and nobody to blame but Providence, as you might say. But this is something that you done to me. Yes, you, Henry Higgins.
Have you found Eliza?
Have you lost her?
Yes.
You have all the luck you have. I ain't found her, but she'll find me quick enough now after what you've done to me.
But what has my son done to you, Mr. Doolittle?
Done to me? Ruined me? Destroyed my happiness, tied me up and delivered me into the hands of middle-class morality.
You're raving, you're drunk, you're mad. I gave you £5. After that, I had 2 conversations with you at 1/2 crown an hour. I've never seen you since.
Oh, drunk, am I mad, am I? Tell me this. Did you or did you not write a letter to an old blighter in America that was giving £5 million to found moral reform societies all over the world and that wanted you to invent a universal language for it?
What? Ezra D. Wanafella. He's dead.
Yes, he's dead, and I'm done for. Now, did you or did you not write a letter to him to say that the most original moralist at present in England, to the best of your knowledge, was Alfred Doolittle, a common dustman?
Oh, after your first visit, I remember making some silly joke of the kind.
Ah, you may well call it a silly joke. It put the lid on me right enough. Just give him the chance he wanted to show that Americans is not like us. That they recognise and respect merit in every class of life, however humble. Them words is in his blooming will. In which, Henry Higgins, thanks to your silly joking, he leaves me a share in his pre-digested cheese trust worth £4,000 a year, on condition that I lecture for his Wanafella Moral Reform World League as often as they ask me up to 6 times a year.
The devil he does. What a lark.
Safe thing for you, Doolittle. They won't ask you twice.
Which ain't a lecture in my mind. I'll lecture them blue in the face, I will. Not turn a hair. It's making a gentleman of me that I object to. Who asked him to make a gentleman of me? I was happy. I was free. I touched pretty nigh everybody for money when I wanted it. Same as I touched you, Henry Higgins. Now I'm worried to tie neck and heels and everybody touches me for money. It's a fine thing for you, says my solicitor. Is it, says I? You mean it's a good thing for you, I says. When I was a poor man and had a solicitor once, when they found a pram in the dust cart, He got me off and got shut of me. Got me shut of him as quick as he could. Same with the doctors. They used to shove me out of the hospital before I could hardly stand on my legs and nothing to pain. Now they finds out that I'm not a healthy man and can't live unless they looks after me twice a day. In the house, I'm not let do a hand's turn for myself. Somebody else must do it and touch me for it. A year ago, I hadn't a relative in the world, except two or three that wouldn't speak to me. Now I've 50, and not a decent week's wages among the lot of them. I have to live for others and not for myself. That's middle-class morality. You talk of losing Eliza. Don't you be anxious. I bet she's on my doorstep by this. She that could support herself easy by selling flowers if I wasn't respectable. And the next one to touch me will be you, Henry Higgins. I'll have to learn to speak middle-class language from you instead of speaking proper English. That's where you'll come in. I dare say that's what you've done it for.
But my dear Mr. Doolittle, you need not suffer all this if you're really in earnest. Nobody can force you to accept this bequest. You can repudiate it. Isn't that so, Colonel Pickering?
Yeah, I believe so.
And that's the tragedy of it, ma'am. It's easy to say chuck it, but I haven't the nerve. Which one of us has? We're all intimidated. Intimidated, ma'am, that's what we are. What is there for me if I chuck it but the workhouse in my old age? I have to dye my hair already to keep my job as a dustman. If I was one of the deserving poor and had put by a bit, I could chuck it. But then why should I? Of course, the deserving poor might as well be millionaires for all the happiness they ever has. They don't know what happiness is. But I, as one of the undeserving poor, have nothing between me and the pauper's uniform but this here blasted 4,000 a year that shoves me into the middle class. Excuse the expression, ma'am. You'd use it yourself if you had no provocation. They've got you every way you turn. It's a choice between the skilly of the workhouse and the charbitis of the middle class. And I haven't the nerve for the workhouse. Intimidated. That's what I am. Broke. Bought up. Happier men than me will call for my dust and touch me for their tip. And I look on helpless and envy them. And that's what your son has brought me to.
Well, I'm very glad you're not going to do anything foolish, Mr. Doolittle. For this solves the problem of Eliza's future. You can provide for her now.
Yes, ma'am. I'm expected to provide for everyone now out of 3,000 a year.
Nonsense. He can't provide for her. He shan't provide for her. She doesn't belong to him. I paid him £5 for her. Doolittle, either you're an honest man or a rogue.
A little of both, Henry, like the rest of us, a little of both.
Well, you took that money for the girl, and you've no right to take her as well.
Henry, don't be absurd. If you want to know where Eliza is, she is upstairs.
Upstairs? Then I shall jolly soon fetch her downstairs.
Be quiet, Henry. Sit down.
I'm...
Sit down, dear, and listen to me.
Oh, very well, very well, very well. But I think you might have told us this half an hour ago.
Eliza came to me this morning. She told me of the brutal way you two treated her.
What? My dear Mrs. Higgins, she's been telling you stories. We didn't treat her brutally. Hardly said a word to her. And we parted on particularly good terms. Higgins, did you bully her after I went to bed?
Just the other way about. She threw my slippers in my face. She behaved in the most outrageous way. I never gave her the slightest provocation. The slippers came bang into my face the moment I entered the room, before I'd uttered a word, and used perfectly awful language.
But why? What did we do to her?
I think I know pretty well what you did. The girl is naturally rather affectionate, I think. Isn't she, Mr. Doolittle?
Very tender-hearted, ma'am. Takes after me.
Just so. She had become attached to you both. She worked very hard for you, Henry. I don't think you quite realize what anything in the nature of brain work means to a girl of her class. Well, it seems that when the great day of trial came, and she did this wonderful thing for you without making a single mistake, you two sat there and never said a word to her, but talked together of how glad you were that it was all over and how you had been bored with the whole thing. And then you were surprised because she threw your slippers at you. I should have thrown the fire irons at you.
We said nothing except that we were tired and wanted to go to bed. Did we, Pick?
That was all.
Quite sure?
Absolutely. Really? That was all.
You didn't thank her or pet her or admire her or tell her how splendid she'd been?
But she knew all about that. We didn't make speeches to her, if that's what you mean.
Perhaps we were a little inconsiderate. Is she very angry?
Well, I'm afraid she won't go back to Wimpole Street. especially now that Mr. Doolittle is able to keep up the position you have thrust on her. But she says she's quite willing to meet you on friendly terms and let bygones be bygones.
Is she, by George?
If you promise to behave yourself, Henry, I'll ask her to come down. If not, go home, for you have taken up quite enough of my time.
Oh, all right. Very well, Pick. You behave yourself. Let us put on our best Sunday manners for this creature that we picked out of the mud.
Now, Henry Higgins, have some consideration for my feelings as a middle-class man.
Remember your promise, Henry. Mr. Doolittle, will you be so good as to step out onto the balcony for a moment? I don't want Eliza to have the shock of your news until she's made it up with these two gentlemen. Would you mind?
As you wish, lady. Anything to help Henry to keep her off my hands.
Yes, ma'am?
Ask Miss Doolittle to come down, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, Henry, be good.
I am behaving myself perfectly.
He is doing his best, Mrs. Higgins.
Henry, dearest, you don't look at all nice in that attitude.
I was not trying to look nice, Mother.
It doesn't matter, dear. I only wanted to make you speak.
Why?
Because you can't speak and whistle at the same time.
Oh. Where the devil is that girl? Are we to wait here all day?
How do you do, Professor Higgins? Are you quite well?
Am I?
Of course you are. You are never ill. So glad to see you again, Colonel Pickering. Quite chilly this morning, isn't it?
Don't you dare try this game on me. I taught it to you, and it doesn't take me in. Get up and come home, and don't be a fool.
Very nicely put indeed, Henry. No woman could resist such an invitation.
You let her alone, Mother. Let her speak for herself. You'll jolly soon see whether she has an idea that I haven't put into her head or a word that I haven't put into her mouth. I tell you, I have created this thing out of the squashed cabbage leaves of Covent Garden, and now she pretends to play the fine lady with me.
Yes, dear, but you'll sit down, won't you?
Will you drop me altogether now that the experiment is over, Colonel Pickering?
Oh, don't. You mustn't think of it as an experiment. It shocks me somehow.
Oh, I'm only a squashed cabbage.
No.
But I owe so much to you that I should be very unhappy if you forgot me.
Very kind of you to say so, Mr. Doolittle.
It's not because you paid for my dresses. I know you are generous to everybody with money. But it was from you that I learned really nice manners. And that is what makes one a lady, isn't it? You see, it was so very difficult for me with the example of Professor Higgins always before me. I was brought up to be just like him, unable to control myself and using bad language on the slightest provocation, and I should never have known that ladies and gentlemen didn't behave like that if you hadn't been there.
Well, oh, that's only his way, you know. He doesn't mean it.
Oh, I didn't mean it either. When I was a flower girl, it was only my way. But you see, I did it, and that's what makes the difference, after all.
No doubt. Still, he taught you to speak, and I couldn't have done that, you know.
Of course. That is his profession.
Damnation!
It was just like learning to dance in the fashionable way. There was nothing more than that in it. But do you know what began my real education?
What?
Your calling me Miss Doolittle that day when I first came to Wimpole Street. That was the beginning of self-respect for me. There were 100 little things you never noticed because they came naturally to you. Things about standing up and taking off your hat and opening
your... Sure, it was nothing.
Yes. Things that showed you thought and felt about me as if I was something better than a scullery maid. Though, of course, I know you would have been just the same to a scullery maid if she'd been let into the drawing room. You never took off your boots in the dining room when I was there.
You mustn't mind that. Higgins takes off his boots all over the place.
I know. I'm not blaming him. It is his way, isn't it? But it made such a difference to me that you didn't do it. You see, really and truly, apart from the things anyone can pick up, the dressing and the proper way of speaking and so on, the difference between a lady and a flower girl is not how she behaves, but how she's treated. I shall always be a flower girl to Professor Higgins because he always treats me as a flower girl and always will. But I know I can be a lady to you because you always treat me as a lady and always will.
Please don't grind your teeth, Henry.
Well, this... Really, it's very nice of you, Miss Doolittle.
I should like you to call me Eliza now, if you would.
Thank you. Eliza. Of course.
And I should like Professor Higgins to call me Miss Doolittle.
I'll see you damned first.
Henry.
Why don't you slang back at him? Don't stand it. It'll do him a lot of good.
I can't. I could have done it once, but now I can't go back to it. You told me, you know, that when a child is brought to a foreign country, it picks up the language in a few weeks and forgets its own. Well, I am a child in your country. I have forgotten my own language and can speak nothing but yours.
That's the real break-off with the corner of Tottenham Court Road. Leaving Wimpole Street finishes it.
Oh, but you're coming back to Wimpole Street, aren't you? You'll forgive Higgins.
Forgive? Will she, by George? Let her go. Let her find out how she can get on without us. She'll relapse into the gutter in 3 weeks without me at her elbow.
He's incorrigible, Eliza. You won't relapse, will you?
No, not now. Never again. I've learned my lesson. I don't believe I could utter one of the old sounds if I tried. Ow!
Aha! Just so. Ow! 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 Victory! Victory!
Can you blame the girl? Don't look at me like that, Eliza. It ain't my fault. I've come into some money.
You must have touched a millionaire this time, Dad.
I have, but I'm dressed something special today. I'm going to St. George's, Hanover Square. Your stepmother's going to marry me.
You're going to let yourself down to marry that low, common woman?
He ought to, Eliza. Why has she changed her mind?
Intimidated, Governor. Intimidated. Middle-class morality claims its victim. Won't you put on your hat, Liza, and come and see me turned off?
If the Colonel says I must, I'll demean myself and get insulted for my pains like enough.
Don't be afraid. She never comes to words with anyone now, poor woman. Respectability has broke all the spirit out of her.
Be kind to them, Eliza. Make the best of it.
Oh, well, just to show there's no ill feeling. I'll be back in a moment.